News starts right now.
June 2nd, 2016 was a tragedy here in the town of Smyrna. We were devastated. We were individually devastated, and we were devastated as a community. And one of the first things that happened, just like any family, when there is a death in the family, they want to gather together. And so that's why we had the gathering at Lee Victory Recreation Park on that night for a candlelight vigil. And hundreds of people turned out to be together and to mourn someone that we felt was part of the community. Many of the people there that night didn't even know Jeff's name at that point, but they wanted to honor a hero.
When I close my eyes and think of Jeffrey, I can picture his little cherub face and a smile. Always smiled. Always laughing and smiling. The Thunderbirds came to Durango when he was probably 7 or 8, and that really resonated with him. But otherwise, his chubby little hands had airplanes in them all the time.
I love that description. That's Janet Coos. That's Jeff Coos's mom. Of course, Jeff Coos passed away 10 years ago today in that horrible crash in Smyrna during the air show practices. And, you know, we've talked about it all day today. This is particularly meaningful to me because I flew with him at the homecoming air show the year prior. I knew him as 7, even though all y'all knew him as 6. Those clips were from a video. The first voice you heard was Mary Esther Reed, the mayor then and mayor now of Smyrna, Tennessee, and then his mom, Janet, in this tribute video. It's about 14 minutes long that Smyrna made on the 10-year anniversary of the crash. Of course, Smyrna, they put up the plane, they built a memorial. It's fantastic. And we talked many times during that period with Mary Esther Reed, who was the mayor. She is also the mayor now, and she joins us on the 10th anniversary of the death of Captain Coos. Mary Esther, great to talk to you after several years.
Good morning. It is so good to hear a familiar, friendly voice this morning.
Oh, same. I felt that, you know, it's, when I was watching the video, I'm like, oh, there she is. I remember. She's so sweet. So you guys put this, by the way, the video is fantastic. I love the video. It's a wonderful tribute, both to the to Smyrna, to Pensacola, to the team, to the communities that came together. And that was one of the things that of all the things I didn't really expect to have such a robust response from, you know, both communities. It really tied us together forever.
It absolutely did. You know, we, in the clip I heard before that y'all talked about, we came together as a community, and I remember your community did as well. And we even sent some of our first responders down to y'all's candlelight vigil and the event you all held. And I think an event like this ties individuals together, but it also can tie communities. And I think forever our fabrics will be woven together as two communities that suffered a loss.
Absolutely.
And it's something I think many of us will never forget, where we were when it happened, where we were when we heard about it, and what's taken place since then.
Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, when watching the video, it had never connected with me, but I saw several memorials and or services that were being done, you know, with speakers and audience and whatnot at that venue underneath the jet, where there's kind of some sort of benchish area there. And I thought, you know, I never realized that that would be that kind of, I know it's next to the big recreation park, and I know you have, you know, people run past it all the time, and it's right there on the main strip. So if you drive past the airport, you see it pretty vividly overlooking the airfield, which is a wonderful placement for the memorial and for the jet. But I had never thought of it as a community activity space, which it clearly is, which I think is quite wonderful, because a lot of the Blue Angels displays around the area here are, it's just a plane on a stick in a parking lot. You know what I mean? And so I thought that was really nice, too.
It's one of the things the committee really looked at. We have a huge grassy area, and initially we were going to put trees right up next to the memorial. And one of the things we talked about as a committee, we wanted to, this to be a gathering place, and not only a somber gathering place, but one of community spirit. And so our 4th of July celebration is held there. Our Top Gun night run is held there. We've had people get married there. It definitely is a draw for individuals. And we've even had people that are going into the military that it happens right there in front of the plane.
Oh, so they do enlistments or signups? Oh, that's fantastic. Or recommits.
They
I love that.
Yes.
And I am sure of all of the places in Smyrna that people put on their Instagram, that's got to be one of the favorite selfie spots.
It is one of their favorite, and it is so iconic because, I mean, even when we have a beautiful sunset or when there's a rainbow, because of the tie with Christina with the rainbow, she feels like every time she sees a rainbow, she sees Jeff because she saw that 10 years ago today.
I hadn't connected that till I was listening to some of the old clips, but that the rainbow was actually when she and her kids were driving into town for the show.
Yes.
And
correct. It had early in the morning, there'd been a small bit of rain, but when they flew, it was just a beautiful blue sky. But then that's what she saw when they came into town. And so there's just so many ties to our community, to Janet, to Christina, to the kids, and to Michael. And so we are just so proud as a community. And as the cheerleader for the town, I have to tell you, to see what our community did in a two-year time period. I mean, when you look, the accident happened 10 years ago today. In 2 years, we had raised $1.4 million. We had obtained a Blue Angel plane, and we had built the memorial, and we're having the dedication. I don't think that happens that quickly, that often.
Yeah, it was, like you say, the turnaround was amazing, and the fact that you raised all that money and that, you know, people cared so much. And, you know, I know here we still, you don't see them as much as you once did because, you know, cars get older and they age out, but I still see a lot of sixes on a lot of our sheriff's vehicles. There's a lot of sixes in windows. We, of course, also subsequently had the NAS Pensacola terrorist attack, and so we have NAS Pensacola heart stickers on a lot of cars, but you still see it. Do you still see the stickers on cars around Smyrna?
Oh, it's funny you say that because periodically I'll just snap a picture and send it to Janet and say, we're thinking about you here in Smyrna. But there's also a tie. We have had, for a couple of years there, we had runners that came up from Pensacola that won the race a couple of years for the Top Gun Night Run, which we have in September every year. And so it's nice to know that people from Pensacola are coming up and participating in our run.
Oh, yeah. And I remember that happening for years and years. We're talking to Mayor Mary Esther Reed of Smyrna, Tennessee. Hang on for just a second, Mary Esther. Let me get a traffic report from John Pickens.
That's right. Sure. We've got one accident on the books right now at Highway 29 and Old Palafox Highway. I'm just seeing some minor delays associated with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Again, we're talking to Mary Esther Reed. She is the mayor of Smyrna, Tennessee, on the 10-year anniversary of the death of Captain Jeff Koos. Cooch, pilot number 6. You know him as, I knew him as 7 because that's when I flew with him as he was the number 7. So in my mind, he's always 7, but I know how everybody else thinks of him as the opposing solo number 6. Mary Esther, ongoing maintenance, ongoing upkeep of the memorial. You guys have had a kind of a clever solution for that problem too, right?
We have. We wanted to do something to raise money so that taxpayer dollars didn't have to go to fund the upkeep of the memorial, and came up with doing a night run. The memorial is running at night, and we're right there by the airport. So we start the run right at dusk and run and finish up at the memorial where we have National Guard members that put the ribbon with the medal around your neck when you cross the line, and it's called the Top Gun Night Run. And there are serious runners, but what you'll see more is you'll see families out pushing baby carriages as they're crossing the finish line because it's a family event. And then we have a huge band there. But in the past years that we have had the run, we've raised over $800,000 to go towards the memorial. And this is our third year. We are now giving scholarships scholarships, three $2,000 scholarships each year.
Oh, that's fantastic. So kids are going, these are students, college, yes, college scholarships, what
they're,
I assume?
They are.
That's,
yes,
great.
They are. They have to be a resident of the town of Smyrna or attend a school in the town of Smyrna. And then they go on to college in his name. So,
I love it.
His name lives on through education.
You know, I just wanted to, I'm so glad your folks reached out to me to, because I did not know that you guys were making the video. The video is fantastic. We've shared it on our Facebook page and I've shared it on my personal page. The video is a wonderful tribute. Smyrna has been such a great source of inspiration. And, you know, you and I have talked so many times, so many years ago. And, you know, my stepdad lived in Murfreesboro until just recently. So
yep.
You know, big fans of the area. Love what you've done in the town to honor him, the Blue Angels, and, you know, to embrace this community as well. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for your town being, you know, like Pensacola in another place. You know, Tennessee is still the South.
Yeah.
We still know how to do hospitality and kindness and grace and faith and loving our military. And you guys did it so well. And I just wanted to have you on for a minute to talk about it. It's been a great pleasure to know you these years, Mary Esther. And thanks for all the work that you've done to promote the Blues and to honor Captain Coos.
Thank you so much. And with that hospitality, we would love to have people from Pensacola stop by, see the memorial, and take one of those selfies you talked about.
Absolutely. Mary Esther Reed, the mayor of Smyrna then and now, thank you again so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bye-bye.
720 on News Radio 92.3. See, John, I mean, these are the people, you know?
These are
the kind of people that just, and not just her, right? She would immediately give credit to her staff and the clerk and the donors
but
and all of that.
The citizens and the residents.
Yes. And, you know, so much of the news, and, you know, look, it's my fault as much as any. So much of the news is the bad things, the controversial things, the terrible things. And, you know, tragedy sometimes brings out the best in us or allows us the opportunity to show the best of us. And I just think it's a great reminder that the world is filled with, you know, this country is filled with very good people, decent, kind, generous people.
They're still there.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you need to get any kind of work done on the complex systems in your home, the plumbing, the air conditioning, the heating, the electrical, generator, whatever the work may be, whether it's, you know, installed or refurbished or upgraded or whatever, Peden can take care of you for that. Since 1969, when Robert Peden started in Panama City to do basically air conditioning installations, you know, summer, Florida. Let's make some money off of helping people not be hot. That's a pretty reasonable thing to do. Well, over the years, expanded geographically to Tallahassee, to Pensacola, to Baldwin County, to Mobile, all points in between now. So good quality service, good quality products, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on the installations. And this spring, get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchase from Peden. That includes scheduled maintenance, priority service, so you go to the front of the line when a lot of people are competing for attention, 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
At different times in our lives, we all have problems. Health problems, financial problems, relationship problems. But at no point are any of these problems our biggest problem. The biggest problem facing mankind is the sin problem. When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't solve everyone's health troubles, although he did help a few. He didn't solve everyone's financial trouble, although he did provide food for some. He didn't solve everyone's relationship problems, although a few were helped in that way. But when Jesus came to the earth, he did solve the problem of sin for everyone. He died a substitutionary death in your place and in mine. All we have to do is call upon him for salvation. Jesus is the greatest problem solver in human history.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
We asked people we spoke with, what does it take to keep getting better with age?
Keep growing.
Remember where you came from. It's the foundation of who you are.
Show up for others. Learn something new.
Stay connected.
That's been our approach at Pennair for 90 years. Staying connected. Continuing to grow. And never losing sight of who we serve. Pennair Credit Union. 90 years strong.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Local. Dependable.
And welcome to Whose Line Is It Anyway? The show where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Achievement Award recipient, Billy Idol.
Thank you to the American Music Awards for this honor. Most importantly, thank you to all the fans. I've been able to live my dream, and it's really all because of you.
Billy Idol's voice has gotten even more gravelly over the years now with 50 years as a rocker. Pretty impressive, getting the Lifetime Achievement Award from the AMAs. His comments, I thought, were actually quite good on Sunday. I'll share that with you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got an accident that just popped up right here on 98 and South Blue Angel Parkway. I'm seeing no delays associated with it. I just wanted you to be aware. Also, Highway 29 and Old Palafox. Seeing some minor delays both in the east and westbound of Highway 29 right there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Billy Idol talking about what it's been like to go 50 years in rock and roll.
When I started out in punk rock back in 1976, we thought it may only last about 6 months, let alone 50 years.
50 years. I love it.
But we were doing it for the love. We were doing it for the love, and because music was the only thing that gave us a sort of feeling of freedom, a sense of freedom. We believed in what we were doing, and we thought maybe if we just dreamed into this life and gave it everything we had, it would give it all back to us in spades. And that's exactly what happened.
And I thought this part was actually the best part.
So to any kid out there who loves rock and roll or any music of any kind, as much as Leon and I do. And if you're inspired to create that sense of freedom and pursue a life of art, then all I can say is, pick an instrument, find out who you are, and be it. That's right, find out who you are, and be it.
I mean, this is pretty good. Find out who you are and be it. You'll always only be a second best somebody else. You know, be the person that God made you to be. 727 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're just very, very good at this. And that very good is, you know, comes from experience. It comes from selling a lot of homes, you know, dealing with a lot of people. As she says, they're, you know, follow-up ninjas. Like, they'll, if you come and look at a home, they will follow up and find out, what did you like? What didn't you like? What's getting in the way? Is there anything, would this change make it work for you? Because a lot of deals happen that way. Now, everybody knows to do that, but you have to do it. And then learning from that teaches you, okay, maybe this paint color, though it's not particularly a problem, is the reason that people aren't offering. You know, she was on Pep Talk last week, and she was talking about how this one home was yellow on the inside, and it wasn't a bad color. It wasn't a problem. Kind of coastal. It fit in. But it turned out that that color was actually, you know, an issue, so they went with, you know, just like an off-white, and the home sold right away. And that's the point, is from experience, you learn that little things can make a difference, and then you learn over time to see the little thing, and when it's wrong, you fix it. Therefore, you get the best results, you get the best offers, you get it in the quickest amount of time. That's the goal. When you sell 209 homes in a year, you learn some things, and they are always learning. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Justice Department says it's temporarily backing off of the Trump administration's anti-weaponization fund after a court order, the DOJ making that announcement yesterday. This comes after reports said the White House would be backing away from the $1.8 billion fund, which was established from a settlement reached between the Trump family and the IRS to resolve long-running disputes.
Yeah, the pushback from Republicans on this has been enormous. Even elected Republicans have been like, no, this is not right. You can't do this. I mean, I said it was ridiculous from the start, but and apparently the White House is at least dithering. They're at least on the fence about whether they push forward with this.
And a New Mexico commission investigating Jeffrey Epstein, demanding records from federal agencies, banks, and other institutions. Lawmakers say the goal is to fully uncover the extent of Epstein's activities in the state. FBI Director Kash Patel's girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, has filed a lawsuit against MS Now, alleging the network published false claims that she misused FBI resources. Wilkins says a report about her receiving assistance from Patel's security detail was based on unreliable, anonymous sources and damaged her reputation.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, we talked earlier, and we'll probably talk again, about the changes in Tallahassee to the proposal from Governor DeSantis to do property tax cuts. The big takeaway, the one that you care most about, is that the proposed cut has been cut in half, basically, because the schools are not going to be touched anymore. Now, that probably means that this is more likely to pass, because the people who would otherwise vote for a tax cut would be reluctant, many of them, to do it if it's going to cut school funding. And so this is probably a little bit more sellable. But of course, the flip side of that is, you kind of, the jaded view is, well, it's Tallahassee, when they would have to be the ones to backfill on that, you know, that they would not have the ability to fill that hole, and so they don't want to take something out of their own pockets. They'll just take it out of the city and the county. I don't know whether this is going to pass or not, but it would be a big change to Florida taxation for sure. Meanwhile, Danny Perez, the person that the governor most likes to dislike, Danny Perez got the full-blown Trump endorsement yesterday, making him the ambassador to Brazil. Not a small appointment, by the way.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump insists talks continue with Iran, though that country says they're suspended. Meanwhile,
the president said on Truth Social, "I had a conversation with Bibi Netanyahu today, asking him not to go into a major raid of Beirut, Lebanon. He turned his troops around. Thank you, Bibi. I also had a conversation with representatives of the leaders of Hezbollah, and they agreed to stop shooting at Israel and its soldiers. Likewise, Israel agreed to stop shooting at them."
Fox's Trey Yang's primary day, Montana, New Mexico, South Dakota, California, New Jersey, and Iowa.
State Representative Josh Turek and State Senator Zach Walls are competing in the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by incumbent Republican Joni Ernst.
That's Fox's Alex Hogan. The winner takes on presumptive Republican nominee Congresswoman Ashley Hinson. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. It's 72 degrees right now. Looks like partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast in just a few minutes. A Century man is facing multiple charges after what deputies describe as a violent confrontation that stretched from a mobile home to a convenience store before ending in his arrest. Escambia deputies say 32-year-old Cortez Rasheen Davison attacked a disabled man Friday at a residence on Algar Road during an argument over money connected to an air conditioner. Deputies say when they forced their way into the trailer, they found Davison on top of a victim, striking him. Investigators say Davison broke free after being hit with a taser, jumped through a window, and fled. The chase ended when he barricaded himself inside of a bathroom at the Century Food Mart. Deputies ultimately used beanbag rounds and took him into custody. Davison remains in jail. Deputies also searching for the suspect after a robbery at the PNC Bank on Fairfield Drive yesterday. Investigators say that suspect was last seen running west on South Dakota Street. The sheriff's office has released photographs online. If you have any information, contact law enforcement. Traffic is once again moving through Palafox in downtown Pensacola after the reopening of Palafox Street. The nearly six-month closure allowed crews to complete a $10.7 million reconstruction project that added wider sidewalks, upgraded drainage systems, and new pedestrian safety features. Drivers got their first chance to use the redesigned roadway yesterday.
Well, the road, as you know, is always tore up and stuff like that, so I'm so glad that it's a new highway and a lot easier to get around.
The updated Palafox Street includes raised crosswalks and traffic calming features designed to slow vehicles through the downtown. Free parking downtown will continue through October 1st, although there is still a little bit of construction on some side roads there. Well, hurricane season officially got underway yesterday. Florida building officials are introducing new recommendations for securing tower cranes ahead of big storms. This guidance after a crane collapse during Hurricane Milton caused some significant damage in downtown St. Petersburg. Experts say the recommendations are intended to improve safety while still giving contractors flexibility and how they prepare equipment before a storm.
Each work site and project has different conditions, equipment portfolios, language in their contract about who's in charge of what. And so there was this sense that we can't have a one-size-fits-all list of requirements, that it may not be appropriate and not flexible enough.
The recommendations include evaluating whether cranes can withstand hurricane-force winds, following manufacturer guidance, and clearly defining responsibility for storm prep. And Florida is now the first state to file a lawsuit against OpenAI. Attorney General James Uthmeyer announcing yesterday that the state is suing the company and its chief executive, Sam Altman, alleging that the company released and marketed ChatGPT while concealing potential risks. The lawsuit claims the platform can facilitate harmful behavior and that users were misled about its safety. OpenAI has not publicly responded to the lawsuit. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got a broken down vehicle at Nine Mile and Pine Forest Road that's blocking the westbound lane. So thank you for the tip on that one. I'm still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 29 in Old Palafox. I'm seeing some delays on Highway 29, both north and southbound there. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We will have a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, especially this afternoon, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 82. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now it's 73 degrees, warming up. We've got partly cloudy skies, your next news in 30 minutes, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Oil prices have dropped this morning by more than 1% after President Trump says talks with Iran are ongoing, despite conflicting reports from Tehranian officials. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $91 per barrel, Brent at nearly $94. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise shares are up by more than 25% after the tech company posted blockbuster second quarter results that blew away estimates. Revenue was up 40% from a year ago, and the tech company posted its biggest earnings beat since 2018. Server revenue was particularly strong, coming in at nearly $5.5 billion, which is nearly $1 billion ahead of estimates. Coding tools are becoming an increasingly big target for Google and Microsoft as they try to catch Anthropic and OpenAI in the red-hot market. CNBC reports that Microsoft is gearing up for coding-related announcements at its Build conference this week, following Google's emphasis on new products and offerings at its developer conference in May. Futures are down this morning. That's your money now.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Is your business
church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event, let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Andrew McKay, it's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us here in studio, as he always does on a Tuesday, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. So let's see. We're searching for a bank robber, basically, right?
We are, yeah. Some dude came in. I say dude. He appears to be heavily disguised in either a wig.
That's not his original hair.
It could be. Could be his original glasses. Could be original tattoos. Who knows? But we did put the picture out on our social media platform. It's been widely circulated. We're looking for this guy. And if anyone has information on him or what a vehicle he may have gotten into, we're certainly looking at all avenues at this point. It's very rare that we have a bank robbery nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like everyone's like, really? Do we really have a bank robbery? You don't get the money you used to, I guess, in the 40s and 30s.
When you could tell people, stick them up, see?
Yeah,
stick them up.
And you take the whole, open the safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really the way it works anymore. However, we are looking for this guy. It's very serious. He didn't have a weapon, as I understand it, but he passed a note. And he got away with an undisclosed amount of cash. Not a lot, but an undisclosed amount of cash. And we're looking for him. So if you know of him, if you've recognized that wig or that information, please let us know.
Now, would this be a situation? I mean, I assume the answer is yes, because literally the Supreme Court case about geofence warrants was a bank robbery. So is this the kind of case where you've gone and, you know, asked for the data on cell phones because that would allow you to identify who had phones in the vicinity and then you could be able to narrow down your search and maybe connect with a license plate reader and a tag and that kind of stuff?
This is the type of case that we would do that, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right.
For your listeners, what we was talking about is we can do a search warrant for the phones that pinged in that area at that time, and then we can
like
isolate,
anything within 100 yards of the bank, right, between right. the 12:30 and 12:50 or whatever.
Right. You know? Very strict guidelines on mm-hmm. on what we can access. But it's the same thing with when we do a wiretap or a phone tap, we'll call it T3. There's, you know, we don't just listen to every single conversation that a person has. We have what they call minimization, and we have to be signed in, and we have to do all kinds of protocols and all kinds of safeguards so that we, which is you minimize the call, and then you come back up periodically. Nope, still talking about, you know, magnolias, and then go back
got
down.
It. So personal communications unrelated to potential crimes don't get recorded. Don't get monitored.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that, but that's just I
didn't realize that either. I thought once you had the tap in place that you essentially recorded everything and then went back through it, but you actually minimize as it's happening the things that are irrelevant to what you're talking about.
Everything is recorded, but if you minimize what you can hear and then you log what's evidentiary.
I see.
And you only go back to that in that portion of it that is evidentiary.
Okay, so you do go back and have the ability to query it. But what makes geofence warrants so different is the record, you didn't know to create the record. The record was created by the private company that operates the telecom or the social media or whatever you're using, and you're going back to query that, whereas like with a wiretap, you now have the permission to create the record from which you draw information. So it's a little, I think it's a fascinating law enforcement technique precisely because you're going back to create as if you were looking in a search back in time, kind of, and you know.
Well, I think it's important to note that these are not done just
for run-of-the-mill things, right?
You need to have a search warrant with specifically telling or asking a judge, this is what we're looking for, this is where we'll find it, and that's all that we're looking for, and within this period of time, and then we have to return, do what we call return. to the judiciary and say, this is what we've collected.
It's a very regulated process. Absolutely. With very specific parameters.
As you would expect.
Of course.
As we all support.
Let's see. We also have an upgrade on some charges. This is the case with the women who had the children that were poorly treated, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And you guys have now gotten what? Enhanced charges against them, right?
Yeah. If you remember, this is the lady brought, I think it's a 3-year-old, into a medical facility. And when a doctor looked at the child, I was like, this needs to be reported. Mm-hmm. He stepped out for a second. She took the child and took off. So we were able to use license plate readers. We determined where she was, stopped her, saved the children, for lack of a better term. And then we charged them at the time with felony and neglect for not providing the care, for leaving.
Yeah.
But we always kind of thought, well, you know, we have to decide who did the actual abuse, who caused the damage, severe, severe damage to these children, very young children too, by the way. And our investigators have done a jam-up job. They have arrested and now charged these two, not just with the felony neglect, but also with the child abuse itself.
And they're in jail on $1 million bond. Well, one isn't on $1 million, one's on $500,000. So very, very serious charges, obviously.
Yeah. And this is very complicated. There's biological children, there's foster children, there's a number of different programs where they've gone in and out of. We arrested an individual at a daycare because these particular children were at a daycare, and they had on three separate instances that documented abuse, but they failed to call the hotline. We talked a lot about that. So this is that. This is all that investigation. We've not completed the investigation. We're still looking at trying to again unravel some of what happened, how it happened, and whether any of that meets the criminal nature.
And what I think about in this particular case is, we know about these ones and we're prosecuting these ones, and there are, I am sure, loads of other cases that we just don't realize, don't know about, that things don't rise to this level, people don't become aware. But it's weirdly for me, it's very satisfying to see at least one make the news, be prosecuted, and make neglectors or abusers think twice, you know, maybe about what they're doing, because anything that's going to help these kids to not suffer, you know,
I agree. You know, in my mind, it's also a reminder to others, you know, mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute, I think I know someone that might be doing mm-hmm. that, and I didn't realize I was supposed to report.
Mandatory report, right, for all humans, not just doctors and social workers and teachers, right?
Yeah, so there's a deterrent effect, but there's also this reminder and awareness, if you will, that our children are our most precious commodity.
If you see something with kids, you better say something. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got a broken down vehicle at 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road causing some delays in the westbound lane. So just be aware of that. They're trying to move that off to the side of the road. 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze. You're seeing just a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Back to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. So the business with Orange Beach, would it be inaccurate to describe it as trafficking homeless people across state lines?
Trafficking to me in law enforcement has kind of like a different connotation.
Particularly with regards to sex and slavery and that kinds of stuff.
Well,
okay.
And drugs. And so okay. I don't really know. All I know is that they, on at least two occasions now that we know of, though we have heard tale of many times this has taken place. In fact, since this has gone public, if you will, I've been inundated with phone calls and texts. Yeah, I live here, and this is what's going on. This is why we don't have homeless either, because I've seen it happening, and it's just not right.
And not just Orange Beach PD, but other agencies?
That's correct. Other entities as well. Yeah. And the thing is, it's a drain on our limited resources mm-hmm. that we have to help the homeless that we have in here that's either native to Escambia County or those that are passing through. And we're not saying that we're not closing our borders or anything, because we understand there are nonprofits that are still transporting people into Escambia County with two other nonprofits here. And I'm trying to get my head wrapped around just how many are coming here, because we have been trying in earnest to try to help those that are homeless, specifically mm-hmm. those in certain areas around the Waterfront Rescue Mission. That's why we were there. That's why our deputy was there and saw an Orange Beach police car way, way out of the jurisdiction, out of their state. And we're like, what do you need some help? You need some help, buddy? Buddy, what's going on here? We didn't know you were doing an operation. come to find out, their claim again, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but their claim is that he wanted to, you know, I guess he knocked on the door and said, hey, buddy, can you spare, give me a ride to, can I catch a ride with you to Escambia County, Florida? and they decided, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. Even though when he got here, he said, I don't want services here at Waterfront Rescue Mission. I really want to go to my home in Jacksonville, Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds vastly different than you know, a benevolent car ride.
Right.
But anyways, I just wanted to know why it's happening. That's the first question was, why is this happening? Why is someone bringing someone way over here? Now, there is a program. It's true. It's a program where entities, not just Escambia County, the Sheriff's Office doesn't do it, but the Escambia County does, where they will offer bus rides if you had somewhere specific to go and someone that would accept you. You're going to a family member.
Back home.
Yeah, going back home. You know, that's not the case in this particular situation.
Is, right.
You know, heck, if this is the case, I'll go down there, and I'm sure probably 50 people would love just a free ride to Orange Beach.
It, you know, this may be a terrible analogy, but it's one that comes to mind. It's like they're treating homeless people like they're leaves that they can just leaf blower into your yard, and then it's not in their yard anymore. And now you got to take care of the problem. You know, you got to deal with it. There's no crime particularly here, but it's inappropriate. I mean, it feels such an underdescription to say it's unneighborly, you know, but it's just weird.
Well, that's the ironic part. Someone said, well, this is not a cooperative spirit that you're giving there, Sheriff. Wait a minute.
why are we taking them
to my county? That's the epitome of not being a cooperative spirit. But you know, I as I understand it, there's a conversation that has.
Well, I mean, literally, Mayor Schutz's his mouth off, called you not gentlemanly. Because, I mean,
yeah,
and he's got some of his own issues. Yeah. Okay, we won't get into all of it.
That's cute coming from their mayor. Yeah,
look, do some searching. I'll just put it that way. Do some searching anyway.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that I could say that I have said.
You've restrained a lot. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think I've been very. My mom would be proud of me.
Oh, look at that. Are they working with you yet? Are they working?
No one's calling me. I had
even just like city council. Nobody's.
I
like
had a
PD?
Conversation with their police chief and their county administrator and. And quite frankly, they were telling me that it's just a nice car ride. That's what they do over in Alabama. They're nice people. And I'm sure many of them are. But I wasn't buying it.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I know what's going on. You're not talking to someone. It's not my first day on the job. This is in 1971. You're not, you know, picking up John Rambo and kicking him off at the county line.
Sheriff Teasel, come on.
Yeah, it's not I'm not buying it.
So what can you do? I mean, there's no crime here, right? What power do you have?
No crime. I'm not accusing them of a crime. I can tell you there are very strict guidelines and rules on what we can do with a homeless individual here in Escambia County. We can't just force them to leave. If they're in a public area, we can't say you can't be here.
Yeah.
You can't get anywhere you want to, but you can't be in my town. Well, we can't do that. That is illegal. And so we're really just making people aware, Escambia County citizens aware. The homeless situation that we're battling every day, that, you know, a lot of those people are not from around here. A lot of those people are being dropped off here. And your tax, at least a portion of your tax dollars, are going towards these services.
And your charitable dollars, too. I mean, you know, because, you know, like we give to Waterfront and, you know, that's,
right.
You know, I don't mind helping people. We like helping people, but still, you know, I want to help our people first because they're our people. That's kind of my community obligation.
Yeah, I do want to make sure. I think I said city, county administrator, really city manager at Orange Beach. I
gotcha.
Make sure that we're clear. We're not talking about Baldwin County.
Okay, got it.
About Orange Beach.
Jimmy Patronis, as you know, has proposed to decriminalize, legalize, make it easier for basically anybody who can buy a gun to buy a machine gun. That would, you know, make your old pre-1986 ban machine guns not be worth very much. So the people who own them are probably not that happy about it. But for people who want to own an automatic, an Uzi or a Thompson or an AK-47 or an AR-15 or whatever in a fully automatic form, if this bill ever does pass, that would be legal. You're the law enforcement guy. You know, we talked with Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday, but, you know, everybody had pistols. They bought semi-automatic, you know, they bought Glocks, you bought Glocks. They bought rifles, you bought rifles. They buy fully automatic weapons. What do you do? It's a different world if the criminals are running around with, you know, fully automatic weapons, right? I mean.
Oh, absolutely. I look at things from a law enforcement perspective. I'm a adamant supporter of the Second Amendment. Now, I have not had a conversation with Jimmy Patronis about this. And I have not, nor have I seen what it actually says. I'm conflicted. While I do believe that you should have the right to keep and bear arms, I also think that, as you just point out, if we have individuals out there with automatic weapons and the law enforcement officers are outgunned, you recall the big case over there in California, I think something happened in Miami with FBI, when law enforcement is outgunned, then you've got problems. I mean, you no longer can control the bad guys that may be carrying these things. And if you think a bad guy is going to right now steal a handgun or some kind of a rifle, they're certainly going to look and steal an automatic weapon. And I think that it's very concerning to me. And to your point, I think that the second that this is legalized, that I'm going to have to start buying automatic weapons for every one of my deputies. Because I can't send a deputy out there with a pistol and you got everyone else walking around openly carrying fully automatic weapons like we're in Beirut.
Yeah, because, I mean, open carry would, that's a concern as well, right? But the way I think about it is I'm hesitant to be no on anything that's pro-gun.
Right, I'm with you.
But I think about, it would be fun to have one. I've shot them, with one of your deputies, actually, with Lieutenant Kilgan. But, do I need that for anything that I would need a gun for? And my answer is no, not really. I mean, it's mostly just fun. But the kind of person who wants to do mass damage, all of a sudden, you're giving them. I mean, I know a semi-automatic can do a lot of damage, and that's why it doesn't really matter to me because it's enough for me. But if somebody wants to, shoot up a crowd, they would rather have a machine gun. And that seems more likely to be abused by the wrong people than to be used for any legitimate Second Amendment purpose by the right people. And that's what concerns me about it, especially because I don't want to see the cops outgunned again, and that's, I think, right, what would happen.
Well, it would happen on day one, starting on day one. I mean, I'm not saying everyone would be walking around with them. We have open carry, and people aren't necessarily walking around with
not a lot of weapons. It in Scambia.
But there are some. Yeah. There are a few out there with AR strapped to their back, semi-automatic rifles. And I think
here in Escambia, have you seen that?
We've seen them, but very rarely.
Interesting. Okay,
they're just going from, because they can't go everywhere, right? they can't even get in and out of their car.
Not getting into Publix like back. That. That's right.
But we have seen people just walking around taking pictures and that sort. Most of it's been taking place in different counties.
Okay,
but I think because we support open carry, we're an open carry community, and there's no reason to come here and make a point because we're okay.
We're fine. Okay,
good job, dude.
Very good. I was going to ask you about property taxes, but we're so completely out of time. I assume you guys are thinking about how things would change if the property tax proposal gets passed today, gets on the ballot and passes, and what that would mean for law enforcement. And thoughts
we're
at this point?
We're certainly thinking about it. We held off because there was no clear plan. Now that the governor has a plan, I believe, as I think I heard you talking about, there's some amendments to that plan, adding things, subtracting things, and we typically wait until the final version is.
Sure.
And there's time for panic, and it's not today, and nice. we'll end up doing that later on. But I know that there are there's a requirement, if you will, in my words, that you will fund public safety. So I fully expect to be funded as a sheriff's office. I think that I have got to fight for funding at the sheriff's office, and I think that's what people elected me for. So I'll keep doing that.
Whether there's any roads for your deputies to drive on is another question. That's a subsequent matter. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, I appreciate the time and what you do to keep us safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Oh, I got a text in here. Somebody says, Chip for governor. Interested? I mean, you don't want county administrator, but you want, unless it's elected, but governor's elected.
Governor is elected, yeah.
All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on 9 Mile going westbound toward I-10, expect about a 7-minute delay in that area. Also, 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need to do a home improvement project, a remodel, fix something up, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Or if you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is definitely your place. They are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is here. They do special orders. They've got everything. If it's, like specified products, the architect, the engineer comes up with something you need unique for a project. Obviously, they can do that. And they're not afraid to. They do it all the time. But if it's regular, ordinary stuff, that you need to build a house, hey, man, they've got it in stock. You won't have to wait a day or two or whatever. They can ship it to your job site. They can put you on a monthly bill. In fact, I always challenge you, if you're in the construction business and you don't go to Pensacola Hardware, go there and talk to them. Ask for Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and say, Andrew's always raving about you. What can you do for me? And they'll tell you. because they've been doing this a long time, for 175 years. They have been in business helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at the Fish House, featuring Rollins Distillery, Juneteenth at Five Sisters, Beer Festival, Father's Day, and Dinner with Strings Attached at Jackson's Steakhouse, featuring the Pensacola Symphony, all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
What you talking about, Willis?
7:59, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Voters in six states picking primary candidates today for the U.S. House, Senate, and governor races. Elections ongoing today in Iowa, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, South Dakota, and California.
All right, good to know. Sam Abel, city manager for Gulf Breeze, will join us next. Tell us what happened last night, what's going on in our city of license. When you hear it say Gulf Breeze, we're serious about that.